It's good to be among you in this fun and faithful place this morning as we look at the idea of being joyful in the midst of Lent. I'm humbled and honored to be your preacher du jour in this environment, because this is an environment where excellence and authenticity are spoken every single week by our Pastor Barbara in such an amazing and intentional way. So thank you, Reverend Barbara,
thank you
for sharing pulpit and being such a wonderful example for us. As I began looking at the scriptures which speak to the concept of being joyful or having fun or celebrating or simply feeling happy in the presence of God in the midst of love, there were literally hundreds of examples. We looked at several of them in our Wednesday explorations in faith group. And we all agreed that there is indeed a relationship between life grounded in faith and times of fun.
A reading from the Hebrew scriptures today gives us an example as the writer reflects on the character of God and how our encounter with the divine gives rise to feelings of joy. So hear these words. They're from Psalm 19, verses 1, 5, and then 7 to 9. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. In the heavens, God has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. These words speak about law and decree and precepts and commandments, but in a different way, because instead of being something to be afraid of, they seem more like something in which to delight.
Exactly, Barbara. I will say a bit more about that later, but our reading from the gospel is also a familiar one from the story of the prodigal son. We're going to just read the father's words today about how he chooses to respond to the return of his son, and I think we know the rest of the story.
It's one of the most provocative of Jesus' parables. Unconditional love is spoken here. I'm reading from Luke 15, verses 22 to 24 and 32. But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly bring out a robe, the very best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. This son of mine was dead and is again alive. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. And then in verse 32, the father is speaking to the elder son, who we know has objected to this celebration. The father says, "But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The response of joy and celebration is clearly evident here. It seems to me that the father was ready to party.
Having fun is a good way to respond to joyful news. Thank you, Barbara. Today we're thinking about life at the intersection of faith and fun. I have known many such intersections, and I think you have too. When we take people on our tours, I often bring along a copy of a little book called The Art of Pilgrimage by Phil Cosenaux. His words reflect upon sacred and joyful encounters in diverse places, and they bring meaning to the sense of journey itself. And his best advice was to always leave room for serendipity. Well, we found serendipity on the fourth Sunday of Lent in 1999. Julian and I were leading a Christian heritage tour in Europe, and we were scheduled to spend the night in Remick, a little village along the Mosel River in Luxembourg. And as we entered the town, it was about mid-afternoon, and we soon saw that there was a party going on. There was a parade of celebrants in bright costumes occupying the main street right in front of our hotel, giving us a ringside view of these festivities. There were wagons pulled by oxen bearing big kegs of wine, and they were, of course, part of the fun. There were spigots at the back that were visited frequently by all the celebrants. And there were vineyards climbing up every surrounding hillside on this beautiful spring day. People were dancing and singing folk songs, and everyone was having a great time. There were also lots of pretzels abundantly displayed in various forms, and so we kept asking questions. And eventually we learned that this Mardi Gras-like party was a part of the church's observance of Lent. On this day, in mid-Lent, the people of Luxembourg, who have been very observant of the disciplines of the Lenten season in the Catholic tradition, these people take a break from the usual solemnity of Lent, and they celebrate Pretzel Sunday, or as it is called in Luxembourg, Pretzel Sonntag. On this day, they celebrate God's love and God's grace, and they give fancy decorated pretzels to their favorite people. And if the recipient appreciates this gesture, the tradition says that the gift is reciprocated on Easter Sunday in the form of a fancy decorated chocolate egg. So our group of travelers entered into the spirit of the celebration with little encouragement, and everybody teased me about planning this party. But it was indeed a serendipitous moment, an intersection of faith and fun. And later on, when we enjoyed our planned boat ride on the Mosel River, we were greeted with a hot air balloon ascension just as we returned to the dock. This time, I just smiled when people expressed their delight at my planning. You heard during children's time about the origin of the pretzel and its shape resembling arms folded in prayer. This tenuous connection to things religious is probably the reason that pretzels were chosen to symbolize this occasion. And of course, as you know, they are very popular in Bavarian Europe today. In our Psalter today, we heard about God's essential goodness. The character or nature of God is reflected in the heavens, which proclaim the glory of God. And the world joins in celebration like happy people at a wedding. And then we hear about God's nature in how the world is organized for good. Remember those wonderful little phrases? The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. It's quite a list of positive parallels, isn't it? I love the juxtaposition of this passage and the poetry that it embodies. The law revives us. The decrees make wise the simple. The precepts cause our souls to rejoice. The commandments enlighten our eyes. And reverence for God brings purity and righteousness to us. This is really a summary of God's love for our world. Why wouldn't we want to celebrate? Love given away, pretzels exchanged, the intersection of faith and fun. And it's really okay, because God has put rejoicing and fun on the approved list of activities. The story of the prodigal son reminds us that love doesn't come with strings attached, with disclaimers, with conditions. Love simply is. And at the intersection of faith and fun, we find love. Simply being expressed authentically, beautifully, exuberantly. Barbara has asked us to think about questions this Lenten season that ask who or what or when or where or why. So I'm going to share a couple of examples that I think, relate to my experiences at that intersection of faith and fun, and how those questions might be answered. Our Wednesday group all seemed to concur that they could recall such incidences from their own past, some confluences of faith and fun, and I'm sure you can too. So first of all, we ask who? Who is present at the intersection of faith and fun? Well, you are. The Spirit of God, in whatever form you imagine it, is present. People you love are present. People who care about you are present. Love is present. In the church of my childhood, which was called Calvary Evangelical United Brethren Church, and referred to, in short, as the College Church, because it was the church linked to Westmar College, in that church, there was a tradition of celebrating Children's Day on a Sunday in June. Did any of you come from a church which celebrated Children's Day? Kind of unusual, I think. I see one hand. I remember that day many times over. I remember the picnics on the campus adjacent to the church with games and prizes and even ice cream bars held after the services on Sunday morning. I remember adults treating us with special care and love and attention and causing us to feel that we really belonged as much as any of the grown-ups. It was a day just for us. It was a day where faith and fun intersected. It was wonderful. Who is present at the intersection of faith and fun? You are. Well, what does it look like? What does the intersection of faith and fun look like? I think it looks like an authentic encounter with the divine, mingled with deep joy and gratitude. An authentic encounter with the divine, mingled with deep joy and gratitude. For me, this happened often in the context of family travel. We had a blast on our trips. Mom and Dad and we five kids, plus Beetlebaum, the dog, and often an extra friend, believe it or not. Always room for one more in the Rambler wagon. And we camped and saw the national parks. We read every historic marker. We marveled at Hurricane Ridge and Old Faithful and the Badlands and the Pacific Coast. We took time for wonder. We sang and laughed and hiked our way across the country. And in this sublime time, faith and fun mingled like the flickering flames and embers from our campfires. It was not necessary to say which was faith and which was fun. They had become one. What does it look like? It looks like an authentic encounter with the divine, mingled with deep joy and gratitude. Well, where? Where do we find these intersections of faith and fun? I would be very tempted to point you in some direction, to suggest that you travel. But as much as I love this activity, it would be disingenuous to do so, because the intersection of faith and fun is within you. Just as Jesus said that the kingdom of God is among you and within you, so also is this meeting place of faith and fun. Barbara mentioned that several people responded to our questions about having fun by saying that they didn't have fun so much. They were too busy. That's a sad note, I think. The prodigal's father said, "But we had to celebrate. We had to celebrate and rejoice because this son had come back to life." That's right. We do need to celebrate and rejoice. We do need to revive the soul, rejoice the heart, enlighten the eyes, make wise the simple. We need to seek out for ourselves those times and places, those people and places where love exists most surely and most purely. And in those temples, within and without, we find the crossroads we are seeking, the intersection of faith and fun, of love and delight. Where is it? It's within each of us. And when? When can we expect this? When can we experience this intersection of faith and fun? Well, I believe that the answer to this one is whenever we are open to the adventure. Many times, anytime, perhaps even all the time. I believe it is a condition of life that can be chosen, that can be practiced, that can be embraced. I bought a bumper sticker the last time we were at Walden Pond that says, "Surely joy is the condition of life." And of course, the author is Henry David Thoreau. And I think he was on to something. Surely joy is the condition of life. It was my parents who taught me about this nearly constant awareness of joy in living, even when it came to matters of faith. Our Sunday school Bible stories were enlivened at home when Dad picked up his guitar and sang some of the cram versions of these stories. From him, I learned not to take myself or the stories too seriously. How could you do otherwise when he would be singing something like this? Methuselah ate what he found on his plate, and never as people do now. Did he note the amount of the calorie count? He ate because it was chow. He cheerfully chewed every species of food, untroubled by worries or fears that his health might be hurt by some fancy dessert. And he lived over 900 years. I will refrain from additional examples. There are many. Faith and fun. There's a relationship, precious and vital to a balanced life. There's a relationship that I believe God intended. My mom did her part, too. When an evangelical friend inquired why she hadn't been to Ladies' Circle lately, well, Mom was pretty busy. She was teaching full-time. She was helping to raise 5 kids, assorted foreign exchange students and cousins who boarded with us while they went to college. So attending an evening circle meeting was not always at the top of her list. "Oh, I gave it up for Lent," she said. No further questions. When we learn not to major in minors, we find balance and humor and love at the intersection of faith and fun. And finally, the last, why? Why do we think it could be important to practice life at the intersection of faith and fun? Well, by now, I think you could answer that question in many ways. I'm going to answer it simply by saying, why? Because I said so. Thanks be to God for the faith and the fun. Amen.